Thank you, Shine. Shine mentioned being one drink away from a drunk. You know, that's a common denominator we have in Alcoholics Anonymous, whether we've been here one day or 6 months or 6 years. And I'm glad it is that way. You know, I'm glad I identified with the people that came before me. The three speakers tonight were coming to this program just about the time I was starting to drink. Makes no difference. I identify with them when they talk. Second speaker tonight is a lady I met early in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was taken up to a meeting one day, Bert Jacobs, and I met Marion, attended a meeting there. I believe since then that I've made more trips to Marion's and to Bert Jacobs and assisting or taking people up to be patients there, to dry up, active alcoholics. And I can recall on several occasions, it was late at night. As a matter of fact, it was a member of this group that Bob and Eddie and I took up. And we had coffee with Marion. Like going to Leominster, I learned a lot. I listened, and I heard what I wanted to hear. And at this time, I'd like to ask Marion to come in.
You know, you never know what you're going to get for an introduction at one of these things. You should have heard the one at Pawtucket. I want to congratulate this group on their 8th anniversary and thank them for my pretty flower. Also, the decorations were very, very pretty. I couldn't help but notice the growth in Shine over the years, remembering the first time that I took him for a ride, supposedly to a meeting when we were almost there, said, it's an anniversary and you're going to speak. Poor Shine almost went through the floor. But he did a good job, and his enthusiasm is still with him. My name is Marion Johnson, and I'm an alcoholic. As they say, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, and I guess God intended me to be an alcoholic. And on the way down, I was telling Charlene something I heard on TV the other night that amused me very, very much. This woman was a fashion designer that was talking in a New York show, and she was asked if she liked housework, and she hated it, having trouble with her mother-in-law. Maybe some of you heard this. She couldn't cook, she couldn't sew, but she could spend money and keep her job, and she suddenly says, if God had wanted me to clean house, he would have made me a broke. And I think that maybe he made me an alcoholic. I have a long and sordid history of drinking as an active alcoholic. And I have had sojourns and jails and institutions, all of which I was able to take in stride because I hated them, and with my millions of excuses and ability to blame everybody else for my problem, I certainly could blame them for my being there. But I think probably the worst part of my drinking, I suffered the most when I was alone with the heartaches and tears and torments that we all go through. The sleepless nights when you take a drink and you think you're going to sleep for an hour, and 5 minutes you're awake and you have to have another drink. And you think and you think until you can't think any longer, and then you just turn all of your self-hatred in some other direction. And by morning you're pretty drunk, in pretty good shape, and everybody else is to blame. And this is a horrible way to live. I certainly was trapped over the years. I drank for many, many, many years. I was 17 years old when I was first arrested for slapping a policeman in the face. I really wasn't drunk, but it was part of my alcoholism. I was belligerent and miserable, and nobody was going to tell me I'd had too many. Wasn't long after that, I drank up a marriage in no time flat, because I was given an alternative whether to drink or not to drink, and I took the drink. And I meant it. There was nothing else in my life but alcohol for a long, long time. Now, this doesn't mean that I was drunk 365 days in a year, that I wasn't able to accomplish something between times, but it does mean that eventually I destroyed everything in front of me. I drank up all of the ideas and ambitions that I started out with. I drank the willingness and the desire to put my shoulder to the grindstone and follow these ideas through. Just everything. And those of us and those of you who are alcoholics know exactly what I mean when there comes a day that there is nothing left but fear and tears and heartache. And you just can't express this to anyone. There also came a day in my life when liquor didn't do anything for me, just absolutely nothing, and it was the most frightening thing that ever happened to me. And yet probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because this was the day when I embraced AA. I believed in nothing. I didn't care anything about myself. I didn't care anything about anybody else. I didn't know the difference between my needs and my wants, and I demanded, demanded, demanded everything of everybody. And as soon as I would get my way, I would be unhappy again. Geographical tours, they were all right until I found me, and then I would come home and be grumpy. By the time this was happening to me, I was so full of fear that I wouldn't dare to be drunk 1,000 miles from home. I didn't want to be in jails and institutions 1,000 miles from home. As much as I abused myself and my family because I was put away often, I still knew that they were the ones that would take care of me and I wanted to be near home. So I would stay sober on a trip or sober to get my own way, or for a while when I did get my own way about something. But I didn't know that alcoholism is a sort of illness that breeds restlessness and boredom and indecision, frustrations and illogical fear. I knew nothing about this. I thought that maybe everybody felt this way, and that I was just an unfortunate person who couldn't drink. And so I continued to drink myself into a state of mental, physical, and spiritual bankruptcy, as everybody else has had the problem, to a greater or lesser degree. I think this is a very personalized individual illness, but I also think to some degree we suffer in the same areas because of alcohol. Now, whether it's because we drink too much too long, I don't know, and I don't care. I could care less about my past. I had to pay that price. And I refuse, absolutely refuse today to treat myself as a drunk, because I am not. I no longer have a drinking problem. But I am a victim of alcoholism, and today my problem is a thinking problem. I have never been able to outlive my life, which means I am the same person that came into Alcoholics Anonymous. But through the teachings of this program, the fellowship, the people, and the literature, I was able to come to grips with myself and realize that the personality that I had lived with, that had required an escape for so many, many years, I would never, never be able to keep sober. It's just an impossibility to superimpose sobriety on the old personality. And so I was told that AA is simply a self-rehabilitation program and that the choice is mine. That AA offered me probably the first freedom of choice I ever had. I could accept or reject it. Now, why I accepted it, I don't know. We talk about spiritual awakenings in AA, and I am sure that the day I decided to embrace this program was my spiritual awakening, but it was a very short time ago that I heard a good definition of this, and I have thought about it for quite some time. That some of us come into AA with a completely broken spirit, and I did. And then if we allow somebody to take us by the hand and lead us back to a little self-confidence, that the spirit takes on life. And from it, we will get the willingness to go forward, the confidence in ourselves, the faith in ourselves. First came the confidence, and then the faith in myself, and then the willingness. However, it worked, and I think probably that is a form of spiritual awakening, and we should all realize that in one form or another, we have had to come up out of the depths that we may have been in, that something has happened, no matter how simple it is. I don't think there's any great cloud. I am not a religious person in any sense of the word, but I certainly use prayer as my greatest weapon. And this program, which is a spiritual program, leads me on day after day, allowed me to be honest with myself, allowed me to take 2 years to become honest with myself, allowed me the time and the grace to forgive myself, which I have done long since. And it gave me the strength and courage to make the necessary sacrifices that I might be a stable person, a manageable personality. There has to be something there. Because I think we are so discouraged and disillusioned with ourselves and society in general, because there came a time in my life when there was no help offered me. It was criticism, condemnation, and punishment, and this puts you at a pretty low ebb. At least it did me. But through this program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I have been able to come to grips with myself and realize that I paid the price of my drinking. I paid it alone with the heartaches and tears and torments, that I did abuse myself, but I also abused others. not deliberately, not willingly. It seemed to be all in the scheme of things that I might live, that I might hold my head up at all. Sort of a self-preservation thing that wouldn't leave me in nonentity, such as I have felt and many alcoholics have felt many, many, many times. And as I say, it did take me 2 years to become honest with myself, to remove the reservations, the ifs and the ahs and the buts and all of the things that I had. If this would happen, I'd be all right. If I could do this, this would be all right. If somebody would mind their own business, this would be all right. But of course, this wasn't true at all. As we hear in AA, there are millions of excuses, but no reason. And so, I today have a thinking problem. I think probably the longest and strongest habit pattern that I ever developed in my life was well developed at the age of 25, and behind it was a concrete bundle of habits and comments and tears, and I want no part of it. So today I manage or attempt to manage an unmanageable personality, and I would like to say that I've been successful at this, but I will have to in all honesty say there has never been a day in my life since I came into Alcoholics Anonymous that the old personality hasn't reared its head one way or another. But by developing daily conscious awareness in the practice of this program, which in my life is a must, I am able to recognize this. And again, I have the freedom of choice to gamble or not to gamble with the impatience and the intolerance and the resentment and the thinking. All are human traits, and I'm sure we all possess them. But what I do with them is very important, because I have never forgotten that the drop of a hat. I can lose my temper, I can kick over the traces. I have never forgotten my truck driver's vocabulary or how to use it. And all of these things, in moderation, I still do. But I must not allow anything at all, to prevent me from having a manageable personality, from being willing to make all the necessary sacrifices to stay manageable, because the most of all, I want to be comfortable with me. And I am comfortable with me. And in so doing, it is very necessary for me to be honest with myself in all areas. And this means continuous practice, continuous conscious awareness. And it pushes the old personality pretty far in the back. I think that we have many enemies, or I have many enemies in sobriety, and fatigue is one, I overwork it. But I have somehow been able to do away with the procrastination, the lying, the cheating, the conniving, and all of these things that were so damaging. Just with the practice of the program, without much effort, except speaking with time, will disappear. And as they disappear, we are comfortable with ourselves. It was 2 years before I had a good night's sleep, and now I couldn't stay awake overnight if I had to. Everything changes. I have a chance to live. And I have a chance to live only because this program, written, compiled by drunks, for drunks, was given to me. The door was open. And if they had said, "You must," I would have rushed. But they didn't. Many things I didn't like that they said, of course, because they exploded all of the balloons, all of the excuses, and they told me the truth. I was called a thief once, and I said, "I don't think I'm a thief." And somebody said, "If you think, are thinking clearly, you will realize that the greatest thief in the world is the thief of time. Now, were you a thief?" And so I entered into that, too. But we don't take an inventory in AA with a hot whip. We don't beat ourselves to death with the past that we have lived and suffered with. We come to recognize it as part of the life and the things we will have to live with if we continue drinking. It's death, insanity, or sobriety. My intoxicated behavior was always insane. Always. At least what I can remember in the last 10 years is very little I can remember. And I used to say that friends and family and policemen and other people exaggerated, but I don't think they did now, the more I think it over and the more places I found myself. And I knew it all when I came into AA. And years ago, I used to buy booze from your next speaker in a little kitchen in my hometown. I certainly wasn't very sane in those days, because God knows what we drank. I don't know if he knows, and I don't know what I drank, but it did the job. And then there'd be other little kitchens where you'd buy grappa and all sorts of things you never drank before. You couldn't get beyond your nose today if you don't want to drink. However, Shine says, "I don't have to drink anymore. I don't have to abuse myself anymore. I feel that I have, through the continued practice of this program, become a whole person mentally, physically, and spiritually within my limitations, which are those that I must accept, not somebody else's." I do know the difference between my needs and my wants. I know the difference between worry and legitimate concern. There's a concern, there's a little AA process. It's within my limitations to do something about things, I do it. If not, I ask for help. Always asking for help from a power greater than myself, whom I choose to call God. And he doesn't always answer soon enough, and if he doesn't, I can get it from AA members, AA groups. There's always an answer. And the better is than the great I am, you should think they had, and I had. And so I simply developed the art of listening. And in the continued art of willingly realizing that time and effort would give me a chance for a personality maturity in all of these areas. And I wouldn't have to act like a child anymore. I wouldn't have to be miserable and pound my head on the floor anymore. I wouldn't have to be at the mercy of friends, family, and society anymore. And I think I always was, whether I was drunk or sober, because nothing was ever, ever right. I have a right to be alive, and so does everybody else. And not always do I think my limitations are what I'd like, but they're enough. Everything I have is enough. Not always am I happy about everything, but happy enough. Things never, never go my way, but I have been able to dedicate my life to working this program with myself and through others, and this probably is the greatest thing that any human being could ever achieve. And with this, I'm perfectly satisfied and humbly grateful to God for the chance. And when I see happy faces and a lot of people I know and the progress they've made, and realizing that in the years I've worked in the spirit with absolutely no illusions whatsoever, we never sobered anybody else up or kept anybody sober, that I must have gained some humility somewhere to be able to realize that one person whose sobriety I am responsible for, and that's mine, and continue to be willing to work for it and recognize the need for it. Thank you.